Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of April, recording at 9:30 p.m. And that's, of course, British summertime. And my goodness, what a summertime bit of weather we've been having. Now, this was another interesting day here. We had mostly strong stock markets, with Japan extending its gains once again. However, China was lower, Hong Kong excepted. China's cheap. I think you probably saw Owen's review of China's bank shares on Wednesday. But the government is still preoccupied with trying to rein in property prices. That's been a big social issue, and I think it's understandable and quite logical that they would want to sort that out really before trying to make some of the other economic shifts and reflate the economy in a number of directions, which mostly involve the consumer. So what that means is that if you're investing in China, in my view, the really interesting sectors are all of those that actually can cater to the consumer, and the strongest of those overall really is almost certainly likely to be the healthcare sector. Okay, what else is relevant in here today? I think with Japan, and this certainly remains Asia's star performer here, and it has been really since mid-November. And we've already seen a great technical rally. Now, that opens the door for further questions. For instance, could this be a cyclical bull market in Japan? I think there's a good possibility that it is. The last cyclical bull trend that we saw was led by or occurred under Prime Minister Koizumi's reign. You'll remember that colorful, charismatic character. That was from 2003 through 2007. And actually, it was the best rally that we've seen in Japan since the peak in 1989-1990. And then, to share my own thinking with you, I'm asking another question, which I think is potentially important, is that could Japan actually be in the early stages of another secular bull market, as in very long term? Now, hardly anyone else is thinking that at this stage, in my opinion, but many of the background factors are in place. For instance, Japan has been a serial underperformer for 23 years, as you know. Also, the valuations were extremely attractive, really back in November, and arguably they're still quite attractive in here today. And then, of course, there's the all-important fundamental catalyst here for a recovery, which is the reflationary effort which Shinzo Abe, the current prime minister, has introduced. And I actually, in reflecting on this, I actually think that Koizumi's bull market could have lasted a lot longer, but that got nailed in 2007 by the beginning of that big bear market rout, as you know. And then Japan was quite conservative after that, and heads were down once again, as they were in so many other regions around the world. But this reflationary effort obviously needs to be able to spark enough enthusiasm at both a consumer level and a corporate level to actually pull Japan out of its long disinflationary and deflationary slide. But I would, you know, I wouldn't actually bet against that. But let's take it one day at a time, because the secular trend lasts a good many years, and we don't want to move away from the charts in the short to medium term. And the key point here is, as long as it still shows the rising lows, and I've illustrated some of those again today, then the momentum is still higher. And that's hardly surprising, and hardly surprising that it would go on for somewhat longer, because global investors have moved from a position of being serially underweight in Japan to struggling to regain a representative stake in that country's stock market. And they haven't done it yet, is my view. Meanwhile, some of the Japanese investors are taking some of their savings and liquidity and exporting it, which is understandable. I think they're also, or I hope they're also participating in the stock market. But they're probably sending more money overseas, and that may be contributing to rallies in stock markets from India to New Zealand. Now, the European stock markets are mostly higher. Sweden up 1.5% here, and the two indices that I often show, SX5E, that's that Euro region index made up of 50 companies, and that had a downside break from its current trading range last week. And it swiftly turned around, in other words, completing a downside failure, which is a good signal that its market's going to rally back and test the upper side of that range. And that's what it's currently doing, or very close to doing, overall. And so that's a good sign. You know, still in that range. It was helped by lower bond yields. Now, the banks index is not as strong, but it has steadied here, and both of these indices would need to move below their earlier April lows to indicate an additional corrective phase for the European markets. Now, the USA's performance has been pretty strong overall, as you know, and today's rally, though, faded a bit near this month's earlier highs. That's hardly surprising. We've gone from a short-term oversold condition last week up to what is the beginning of a short-term overbought condition. And I also noticed that the transports index, which had led the upward break several months ago, is underperforming in here relative to the Dow and the S&P. Now, that's a possible sign, a probable sign of a little bit of weakness here. But overall, I've got to say that the action is very much consistent with a ranging consolidation in a bull market. Now, I think we may see indices tested as we enter May, but overall, I would say that most of the activity is, again, consistent with consolidations within a bull market. Now, government bond prices, not surprisingly, have drifted a little lower in here again today, as did the DXY, that's the U.S. dollar index. Now, we often see that when investors feel a little bolder, and it's the stock market rally that makes them feel a bit bolder. Precious metals were strong here today, led by gold and particularly silver. Platinum also had a good day. Silver surged. It closed up $1.45 to $24.33. And so we're still getting some bargain hunting buying, and also I think some short covering taking place in here. Now, that asks the, or raises the question that I'm certainly pondering. Have the precious metals completed a cyclical bear trend. It wasn't a big bear trend in terms of percentages, nor would I expect a big trend, but it was over the certainly comfortably over the 20% level. But have they, so the question, to complete the question, have they completed a cyclical bear trend within a secular ongoing bull market? Well, we don't have conclusive technical evidence of that. We can't at this stage of the cycle. But we'll only get that conclusive evidence with hindsight. But so we're in the conjecture phase here overall. But I feel the overall background environment, largely all this money printing that's going on, is consistent with a further secular bull trend, and I would only think that I'd only really worry about that on a longer term basis if interest rates were moving up sharply, which is certainly not the case at the moment. But technically, to see evidence that the earlier lows that we've seen in April for the precious metal sector, to see that those lows were likely to hold, we would need to see the first reaction once this rally runs out of steam, when we first get a clear reaction that pulls back, and we want to see how much of the gains it actually gives back. Now, when you've had a really important low following a selling climax, such as we saw with precious metals, and usually they don't retrace much more than a quarter to a third of the initial rally off the low. And then bullish confidence returns fairly quickly. On the other hand, if they return or retrace rather, clearly well over 50% of the rally, then it becomes more questionable. And also in terms of a bottom formation, even if the lows are going to hold, it's usually likely to be more of a type 3 rather than, or a type 2 with an extensive right-hand section rather than a sort of than a spike low. So all that lies ahead, and it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. But my guess is that we're not going to see more than a cyclical bear within the overall secular bull. Now, we've also seen a firmer tone in some of these very oversold industrial metals. And good day to the upside on copper here, up over 8.5 cents, taking that back up to 3.25. This has been these industrial metal prices really had fallen quite sharply, often back to some previous important lows. So we should see at least some temporary steadying. But again, if my hunch is that global stock markets are going to extend their overall bull market trends, then I would expect these highly cyclical resources sectors to experience a strong late run. So that's something we might be able to look forward to. Now, also in the commodity markets, crude oil, particularly the WTI, was up strongly here today, up $2. Now, that's been a sharp rally. I think it's almost $8 since last week's test of range lows. Brent's also somewhat higher, back up to 103.27. And the WTI right now is at 93.31. It's come off that $2 high just a little bit. And on the Brent, which is the more important contract these days, because the WTI is really only relevant to the U.S. in particular, and also Canada. But the Brent is approaching that first area of possible resistance at 105. Or I'll put it this way, there's a band of trading above 105, which definitely will represent some resistance. And on that note, after this interesting day. All the best to all of you.